Hello, everyone. Welcome to Game Junk Prototype, episode 39, recording on December 4th, 2020. My name is Frank.
My name is Sean.
And my name's Andrew.
Not the biggest week in video game news. We'll be, dragging the bottom of the barrel for some news topics here to start off the show. But, hey, we've made a commitment. We're going to be here. We're going to talk about it and talk about some stuff we played. For me, specifically, some new additions to Game Pass, but we'll see what these other jokers are up to. How you guys doing?
Good.
Oh, not too bad, Frank. Thanks for asking.
Back by popular demand is Drunk Huck. He's got the... is it rum? Is it rye? What are we looking at tonight? Looks like rye to me.
It's actually... it's a fancy concoction. It's spiced rum, but... Let me pull it
so
over.
So it is spiced rum yet again.
It's a fancy... calorie-free cherry cola type thing that's probably going to give me cancer, but I will drink it anyways because it tastes pretty good.
Nice. So what do we want to start off with here? Console wars. Not a lot of shots fired this week. There's a lot of talk about what the most powerful console is. I don't really think there's much to talk about, but we should talk about, you know, it's tough to get these consoles. Our friend of the show, Jay Cheel, I believe, acquired both consoles this week, so a Series X and a PS5. I texted him before the show. They've yet to arrive, so he hasn't experienced them yet. So they are releasing sparsely. I obviously got a Series X a few weeks ago. I made some bold promises on this show that you would be able to get one before Christmas if you wanted one. Seeming to be less likely that that's the case. Still 3 weeks to go. We'll see what happens here. But they are pretty tough to find. I still know a few people that are... I really only know one person that's really trying to find one that hasn't been able to be honest. I think the friend of the show, Scott, is still looking for a PlayStation and been unable to find one. So if I'm really thinking about it, there's not a lot of people that I... know that can't find one. I ran into a previous guest of the show, Dan, who liked to talk the Batman games, Rocksteady, in Shoppers on Black Friday. He's got both systems. He's ready to go.
In his element.
Yeah. Attaboy. He was having an optimum dispute with customer service. I felt pretty bad for him. But anyway, it's maybe I'm blowing it up worse than it is, but I do have to talk about this. I was looking at some articles today, video game stuff, and I saw a clickbait article about Ellen making a joke about...
Clickbait? What?
What?
I mean, there's clickbait everywhere.
I know, but I've never... This is like... I couldn't tell what it was. I had to click on this. Maybe it thinks it's legit. I don't know, but... Ellen made a joke over Twitter about the future having an iPhone 378 or something to order your... PS6, and like gamers were mad about it. It was this ridiculous article about how she was being inconsiderate to people who couldn't get the system and was obviously unaware of the console length that PS6 and iPhone 300 would not be long. It was ridiculous. I can't believe I read it, but apparently it's a big deal. What do you guys think?
Take a joke.
Still trying to know people that are trying to get these things? Seen any anywhere?
Well, I mean, there's been people in the Game Junk Discord saying that they're trying to get them. I know, like, maybe it depends on where you are. I don't really know Canada versus US, what supplies are like. The Walmart stuff that went on sale this week, it was a little weird. Like, the site was getting hammered.
Oh, yeah.
But it seemed like it was weird because then they suddenly put up a page that said, you know, the site is busy. We're going to auto refresh for you. And it was after that they actually released, like put them actually online for sale. So it was almost like they tried to deter a bunch of people and then actually release them or something.
Well, but, I was able to put it in my cart a bunch of times and then I could never check out, which I think is pretty standard fare.
Right. But I mean, I think, yeah, lots of people want these things and they are hard to find. And we've heard, you know, supply chain issues and all this stuff. Like, I think it is legit. Like, you know, it's a problem, and there's a lot of demand out there. A lot of people are at home wanting to play video games right now, and they're kind of upset about it. So I get it. And I don't know what, like, you know, I feel weird because, you know, sometimes like we've been talking about PS5 and Xbox Series X stuff a bit. And I'm almost like, I don't know, do people want to hear about this stuff? Like, is it like annoying because people can't play this stuff right now? I mean, most of the games you can still get for the last gen consoles anyway. So I don't know if that really matters, but yeah, I would say some people out there are pretty pissed off about it. And it, a lot of it has to do with, you know, you go on eBay and you can get it on eBay at, you know, exorbitant markup prices. So you've got the sort of the issue with the scalpers and the bots and all this kind of stuff, and people are not happy.
I literally just went to eBay as you guys were talking it, and I searched by lowest price. And for the Series X, the first couple listings are literally just like Series X image only. Like, people are trying to trick the bots into buying an image of an Xbox Series S or X because they're so pissed, I guess.
I don't know if they're trying to trick bots. I think they're trying to trick actual people.
Well, I'm looking at this. There's two. The exact same. They're probably from the same guy. The first one is $12 and has one bid. The next one is at $392 and has 18 bids for an image of an Xbox Series X. Like, this is insane that this is working and that people are giving these guys money. That is crazy.
Yeah, this is not good. I've
there's the same thing for PS5, actually. I just scrolled down a bit. PS5, JPEG only, it says. and there's a bunch over $500. Well, this is Canadian dollars, but over $500. There's like, there's four right here going from 547 to 637. JPEG only. Like, I think we may have found a little business proposition for Game Junk here. Start posting on eBay. Make a little extra cheddar posting some JPEGs.
Yeah, it's
Frank, take some from a couple different angles. Make it look legit. Let's get posted.
I will not participate in this nefarious activity. I hate the idea of resale consoles and all that stuff. I would never do it.
This is very reminiscent of the Wii days. Yeah, and even, yeah. What was the other PlayStation? Was it PlayStation 3 or was it PlayStation 2 where there was a crazy eBay presence?
Definitely the 2. Because two. The 3, yeah. I could walk into any Walmart and get one because it was like $700.
Yeah. I remember a guy we used to work with when the PlayStation 3 came out went and like bought a whole bunch. Maybe not a whole bunch, probably like 2. Thinking he was going to flip them on eBay, and then there was just no market for it, and he was stuck with like 2 or 3 PlayStation 3s with thinking he was going to get rich quick, and didn't pan out.
Could have held on to them. At one point, I think those backwards compatible original models were valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, maybe he did.
On a related note, I've also heard, and I think some people were talking in the Discord about this too, but some video cards are apparently really hard to find. So if you say, hey, fuck it, I don't want a next-gen console, I'm just going to upgrade my PC, you might not even be able to do that right now.
It's been like that for a while, though, ever since like Bitcoin mining became huge.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a real shortage on graphics cards for a long time.
Wow. Well, that sucks. Wow.
All right. Anything else new console wise to talk about? I don't think so.
Not really. I know you kind of glossed over it. There was some interesting stuff out there about the PS5 outperforming the Xbox Series X in some cases. Now, we didn't talk about this initially at launch. There was some stories about the Series X having faster load times than the PS5, which was unexpected. I think that was like mostly on multi-platform games. Like, it seemed like Sony sort of first party games, they were optimized and they knew what they were doing for the load times, but some of the third party multi-platform games were not. It was hit or miss whether it was better on the PS5. But anyway, now they're saying that some of the other areas, like I guess GPU wise and stuff, the PS5 seems to be outperforming the Series X when it theoretically shouldn't be. I don't know all the details on that, but kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think there were some, I think there was a comment too about crashes and stuff like that. And I mean, my PlayStation has crashed a bunch of times. My Xbox has crashed several times. I think that's app-related, not system. Although I hear there are some quick resume crashes happening with some games too. Maybe I'm confusing the systems, but to me, that's like standard launch fare. Every console, when it launches, has tons of issues like this. Unless systems are bricking, which I haven't heard that much talk about, that would be a bigger concern. Maybe that is happening. I just don't know about it. But the performance thing, it's a little early to tell which is which, because these companies were all rushing to get their games out basically on four consoles for the most part. So,
yeah, I think I heard that like the PS5 dev kits were out there earlier, so that's one of the big reasons they're saying that it performs a bit better in some cases. But, you know, they're expecting that Xbox will catch up, so not a huge...
Yeah, I don't know how the architectures or how the consoles are set up specifically, but when you're doing it for four consoles, there's probably some common denominator version of loading and something like that, especially if you're using your own engine or Unity or some other engine, and whatever one that one works best for is probably going to see the best results across the board, or unless they start putting system specific work in there, like maybe the Ubisoft games are better suited for a certain platform right now. I haven't looked into the details, but I mean, that's to be expected, I would think, until optimizations for each console start becoming more frequent.
Yeah, well, most big studios and small studios use pre-made engines now, right? Like Ubisoft, I'm pretty sure, uses Unreal for most of their games. So they're just going to be using whatever Unreal has shipped for PS5 and Series X. They could dive into the code of Unreal and try to improve it as much as they can, but I don't know if they would. I mean, they might if they were really noticing a big difference between the two consoles. But for indies that are just using Unity, there's no way they're going to go into the source code and change it to try to optimize any loading issues that might be happening. They're just going to use what's out of the box. And I think it's still a pretty big improvement over the previous gen, regardless of what they decide to do.
Yeah, it looks like Ubi, I mean, they had Snowdrop that was with the Division. I don't know what games are using it. And Anvil is another one that it looks like some of the Assassin's Creed game uses, but they use different stuff across the board. So
yeah, well, they have a lot of projects.
Yeah. Anyway. I'm spent on consoles right now. Let's get into some bigger news. Huge news. Movie news.
Gigantic.
Motion pictures.
Mm-hmm.
What are those?
The Metal Gear Solid movie has been announced, and apparently cast in the lead role of Solid Snake is Oscar Isaac. Are you guys pumped for this announcement? And more specifically, you know, Kojima thinks of himself as quite the director and almost an auteur of cinema in his own right. I would debate that to a very high degree. Not that I don't appreciate his games. I do think he's an auteur, but in terms of his cinematic prowess, I think it's quite overrated. But is he involved in this project at all? What are we looking at here?
So from what I read, he is involved. I don't think he like has a writing credit or anything on it, but I think he at least had some say in the script and is like a producer or something.
Now, how does that work? Because Konami owns the property, right? Kojima doesn't work there anymore. So how is he involved? Like, is that the film going around Konami? Do we know how this happened?
I think Sony acquired the rights like a while back. Is it Avi Arad is producing, who did a bunch of video game movies back in the day, and I don't know what he's been doing recently, but yeah, like this thing's been in the works for like at least a decade, if not more.
And obviously Sony has a close relationship with Kojima Productions as well right now, right? So
yeah, but I don't think, you know, this was kind of before like you're starting to see a little more of the video game publishers and the development studios actually getting involved in these movie adaptations, whereas before they never were. So I think this deal was probably made like kind of before that was common, but I don't know. It is a little weird. Like that whole, like, I don't even know, like, what's Konami doing with Metal Gear right now? Like, was Metal Gear survive the last game they put out?
I think, didn't they say they were basically shutting down Metal Gear and focusing on mobile stuff? And
I think so.
I thought that was their general direction.
Yeah, I mean, I remember hearing the focus on mobile in general, but I do remember that Survive didn't sell that well, and I don't know if part of that was just people were kind of siding with Kojima and didn't want to support Konami, but so I mean, I don't know if that has anything, like, you know, when it comes to putting out this movie, which has been in development for a very long time, is Metal Gear, you know, has it kind of had its day? Is it already on its way out? Are people forgetting about this franchise? Do people care? I mean, I'm curious. I've always thought, like, how do you make a movie out of this? Because it's, you know, it's obviously a very cinematic game, which I guess makes people think, hey, cinematic game, let's make a movie. It's got a great story, but is it a great story? I don't know that it is. It's
a great question. I don't think so either.
Who knows what the actual story is? That's the real question.
I certainly do not. Let's be honest. The only thing that matters in terms of this being a franchise, it might even be better that the stories in the game suck and they can do their own thing. Snake, although even Snake, I was going to say, is a cool-looking character, but he is just like almost a mimic and an homage to Snake Plissken. So it's, this character kind of exists in a way already. So he already was this weird ripoff of another movie character. So unless they've got a tie-in with Escape from series, now that could be interesting. Now we're talking. That's where I think we need to go. Now, I don't think that's owned by Sony, but that's where I'd be. Wasn't there a remake of that announced at some point as well?
Yeah, I think it's still happening. I forget who's directing it now, but somebody's doing it. But I mean, now if they had cast Kurt Russell as Solid Snake, people might be.
Wow. There we go.
Wow. Who was the, I can't think of the, in Metal Gear Solid in 2, who's Snake's commander or the guy you talked to on the comm link?
In
I want to say, don't know.
I can't remember.
Colonel? Is his name just Colonel?
Yeah.
While you're looking it up, I went to IMDb and I'm looking at the description for the Metal Gear Solid movie, and it just says, an advanced tank is stolen by a terrorist group and an elite soldier, Solid Snake, is dispatched to retrieve it. Now, would you describe a Metal Gear as an advanced tank?
Yes.
Would you? Yeah, okay. I was going to say, that doesn't really handle it. In my mind, but I guess it could.
So are you thinking of Roy
leaving out
Campbell?
The nuclear aspect? Was that
Roy Campbell? Is that who you're thinking of, Frank?
Is that the actor who I think looks like the...
Well, that was Meryl's father in the first game. I never finished part two, so I don't remember too much.
No, I'm thinking Metal Gear 1. I don't know. Who cares? The guy in Metal Gear 1 looks like an actor, too. I'm sure this is going to lead to... I was looking up any casting rumors for other
people. GW?
And it's... I don't know. I'll know. I won't even know. Who cares? But, like, which leads to the other movie discussion, I guess, when Uncharted was a thing and... What's that Joker's name that everyone's like, he has to play Drake. He was born... Oh, Nathan Fillion. Oh, my God. He needs to be Drake. Anyone else is a debacle. And that's all... It was like the most uninspired casting ever. Not that I have anything against Nathan Fillion. I really don't know that much about him, but it's like, okay, he looks like Drake. I think Oscar Isaac is kind of interesting casting. So, and he isn't like a clone of the video game character, which is what everyone wants from their casting. And
is Marky Mark Sully?
Yes.
In Uncharted, yeah.
In Uncharted, yes. And Tom Holland is Drake.
Yeah.
There was an image of that pretty recently. I think it looks okay. I don't know. I thought he was I thought the two of them together looked better than I would have thought, perhaps. The stash on Wahlberg.
I didn't see the
I thought
Wahlberg
maybe
shot.
I was I a better see, Sully if you put a stash on me with the cigar a few episodes back.
I think so. I think we should reach out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the general reaction was people didn't like the photos, right?
Not Nathan Fillion, Sean. How could it ever be good enough?
Well, I think, yeah, people generally, the Mark Wahlberg thing, a lot of people just don't like Mark Wahlberg. They think he's a bad actor. And, you know, he's definitely done some questionable, goofy stuff, but he can be good in the right role. And I think he could be fun in this role.
I thought the thing with Sully was they thought he was going to be bad. And then they were, well, there's one image that looks bad, but I thought there was another one that was better. He's kind of a younger Sully. I don't know. I think he's fine. I mean, it's tough.
I'm not
going to
be lying. I'm loving Mark Wahlberg with the stash. He's going to nail this thing.
I think his, like, I mean, I like Mark Wahlberg when he's playing, like, kind of comedic roles that he's kind of aloof. And, I mean, this was originally supposed to be David O. Russell. So I like him in David O. Russell movies probably more than any other movie where it's a little more comedic. So,
I don't know if you guys saw, but Antonio Banderas is also in the cast, so he's probably the bad guy.
Okay.
I don't know if he would play a new bad guy or reprise a role from one of the Uncharted games. But
I could not tell you any of the bad guys from the previous Uncharted games, and I've played all three of them extensively.
I remember the guy with the like blue shit in Uncharted 2.
So it's... my gut is they're going with someone new because they're not the most iconic villains in the
world.
So you guys buying or selling these things, as Sean would like to put it?
I think they're in a better place than maybe they were a few years ago. You know, like obviously Metal Gear Solid had people like Kurt Wimmer was supposed to do it, who did Equilibrium. Uncharted went through Seth Gordon, I think. I can't remember who all. Now it's Ruben Fleischer who's doing it, who, you know, did Zombieland, some other stuff. Like, I think, you know, he's not amazing, but I think he does good action and comedy, so.
Sean, the question is buy or sell? Are you buying or selling either one of these pictures?
I'm going to say I'll buy.
Both? You're buying both?
I'll buy both.
I'm 100% selling both. Not even a question.
I would be selling Metal Gear, buying Uncharted.
But if I had to pick which one I think is going to be better, I'm going to take Metal Gear. I think there's more opportunity.
Really?
I think Amy Hennig's stories are the best Naughty Dog stories that exist. Like, the first two Uncharted games are... And I know she's talked about what she would have done with the Star Wars game she was working on. And she is great at establishing or recognizing what makes those genres like Indiana Jones and other things work as movies. And replaying the first Uncharted recently, what's amazing about it is the amount of story. It is not long cinematics. It is just enough. It keeps the game flowing. Now that's game story versus movie story. But I like the simplicity and, I guess the simplicity and the storytelling in the simplicity of the first two Uncharted games. I feel like these other games are getting way too complicated. Not that I dislike The Last of Us 1 and 2, but I think they are not as good as the creators think they are. And I don't know. I would like to see a movie that Amy Hennig would work on.
So based on that, so you said Metal Gear was the one you think will be better than Uncharted, meaning...
Just there's more that they can do. Like, I think the other Uncharted is going to be, like, trying to be too much like the games, and I think it's missing the person who made those games great, at least the stories in the first two. Gameplay is a totally different thing. I found this third and fourth stories were almost too complicated for the type of genre that it is, especially when you change that to movies. Where Metal Gear, there's not a lot of rules for it, I don't think. It's maybe a cool world to explore and a cool character, and I think they can do whatever they want, and I think I'm more excited for that.
I guess the Uncharted movie is also a prequel, which, so, you know, it's, the plan is not to retell any of the stories of the games, although I guess Uncharted 4, maybe it might cover some of that territory, I'm not sure, but I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's the plan.
Well, I'll leave it in the hands of the filmmakers. Feel free to dazzle me. Until then, we shall not talk about it again. Okay, Huck, you had
one. I guess we need to start having some game junk, film junk crossovers when all these movies start coming out.
We got to do a retro review of Sean's favorite, Prince of Persia, with Jackie G. I
mean, we got to do that just in time for the Prince of Persia Sands of Time remake to come out.
I'm in.
There is a Mortal Kombat movie supposed to come out in January, if it's still happening.
A new one?
Yeah, apparently.
Yikes.
I don't know.
Definitely selling.
Are we seeing a new era of video game movies here, or are they still just as shit as they always were?
Well, in order for that era to start, there has to be one good one, right? Have we hit that point yet?
I thought the original Mortal Kombat.
I might even say
that,
for that era to start, you need two good ones, which I don't think has happened.
Sonic the Hedgehog, baby.
Absolutely not.
And you know what? Detective Pikachu was okay, but I mean, there's still not a 100% great one out there.
That is for sure. All right, Huck, get to your tech news.
What's
here?
Shit?
Industry news.
Okay, so minor news, but for any developers out there, FMod just announced today, which is a audio suite of tools, kind of like a plug-in to an engine, that they've announced that they're going to be free for any indie developers that have under $200,000 of sales. So that is
pretty
good.
Is that gross or net?
I don't know. Look at the website. Google it. It says yearly revenue. Sorry, so it's revenue.
I wish I knew what that meant.
Revenue is, I believe revenue is after tax and after everything. Or is that, yeah, that's correct, I think.
You're the small business owner. You tell
I should know this stuff, right? My non-existent business degree. And so that is pretty good, because really FMod and another program called Wise, which is spelled W-W-I-S-E, are kind of the two main sort of like audio suites for developers right now that they can use. And so this is pretty good. It's kind of like this whole race to the bottom we're seeing with engines now coming to the audio tools, which is only going to help indies more, because if you can get access to a really high quality audio tool for free with no yearly subscription or anything, that's going to help you a lot in your development costs. And that's it. That's all I really wanted to say. Just keep an eye out for that.
I haven't used FMod. I don't endorse it or know anything about it. So this is all you, bud.
Is this like a common approach for some of these sort of middleware providers? Is it like that 200,000 cutoff like a common thing? Or are they, like, how do they usually do that?
As far as I know, this is the first time I've seen it. Usually there's like kind of like tiered pricing where, you know, if you're under 200K, it's like X amount per year. If you're between like 200 and 500, it's a little more. And if you're over 500, it's kind of like the big amount. And it also depends on like how many seats you have, how many people you need to use it. So it's different for everybody as far as I've looked into it, but I've never seen a plugin like this be free, completely free for a certain group. So that's interesting. And really there aren't too many from what I've done in my research, is are not too many audio tools out there. You're basically either using the in-game option or the in-engine options, so like whatever Unity gives you or whatever Unreal Engine gives you, or you're using FMod or Wise, which are the two main things, and it gives you a lot more tools, a lot more, you know, ability to control different things. So this is a pretty good option for indie developers, I would say.
Cool.
Wow.
Now, they did. I was going to say, there's no mention of consoles, so I'm assuming this is just for PC or Mac, not for any consoles. So you probably still, I imagine, you still have to pay for those licenses. So it's not going to be completely free, but anything helps.
Wow. I love seeing Sean. I know when he's going to the board. He starts looking. What's the button for that?
It's not convenient. I can't read it from here. I have to like.
If
really
you're listening at home, you gotta go back and rewind. You just, you can see the inspiration for the Owen Wilson. Wow, and he's just reaching for it.
Load it up. Fuck Facebook. Fuck Facebook. Fuck Facebook.
You got to get on youtube.com/gamejunk. We got to get these subscriptions up. Even if you hate watch the show, we don't care. Just smash them buttons.
We did see the comments about being able to share screen and stuff. We're working on it. We're going to try it out one of these days.
Yeah, I mean, we've dabbled with it a little bit before, but, you know, it requires preparation, which we're not into, so.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah,
exactly.
All right, let's move it along here. Let's get into what we played. Anyone want to go first? You know what? I'm going to go first. You guys aren't jumping at the opportunity here, and I got a game I'm pretty passionate about these days.
Mm. Okay.
So I've been dabbling in some Game Pass on the Series X, and, you know, I just went and I kind of changed my... I went to the indies and I'm like, I don't care what the cover art is. A bunch of these, I'm just going to download them and try them. I hate that I judge these games by their cover art. And, you know, I wish there was a bigger focus on that, but let's look past it. Let's download some stuff. So I downloaded Scourgebringer and I had not heard about this game, had not seen any reviews. It's a roguelite game. Reminded me of Flint Hook. Quite a bit, and maybe Dead Cells to some degree, but it's got this like amazing combat where it's very fast. You're almost juggling in the air and dashing. It does remind me a bit of Hades, like the pace of the combat. Obviously it's a different camera perspective, like right on screen versus isometric, and I'm really liking it. I was hitting a point where it was too hard. I was kind of mashing buttons, and there's an attack button, a smash button. You can shoot with the right trigger. So there's a lot of options for how you attack. But just
getting
when
crazy
I was
in here.
Uh-oh.
Can you guys see this?
Yeah.
Let's try it out. This is an experiment. I'm sharing the gameplay video Frank is talking about it.
Just when I was about to give up on this game, I was like, I suck. I'm going to pass on this, or I'm like, I think this just isn't for me. It all clicked all of a sudden, and I was being much more deliberate about how I was using the moves in the game. And ever since then, I've gotten like that roguelite addiction where I just keep doing run after run, and I'm loving the game. So I highly recommend it if you like roguelites. It kind of does everything I like about it. There's a lot of convenience and speed. I don't find it really annoying. I love that you unlock a skill for teleporting to rooms and you don't have to travel everywhere to go back to a room. I think it's fantastic. And it's relatively new, as we see here in this trailer, available October 21st on Switch, Xbox, and PC. And I'm loving it. I'm going to see if I keep... I want to keep playing it. I think it's the perfect thing to tide me over until Cyberpunk. And I'll talk about another game I tried, but I don't think I'm going to get into it just because I want to just mess around with some stuff until I do want to give Cyberpunk a go. So I'm so late to the party on The Witcher and Red Dead and some other stuff. I've got pretty long winter break coming up, and I am hopefully going to dedicate that to Cyberpunk. So Scourgebringer, amazing little game that I'm not hearing anything about. And
I did actually try the demo for this a while back, Frankie.
This was part of that
some Xbox Summer Game Fest,
yes,
or whatever it was. And yeah, I liked it. It definitely reminded me of Dead Cells. And I've been meaning to check out the full game. I guess I'm going to have to do that now.
I'm loving it. I will probably be playing it tonight after we're done recording this.
Nice.
I can go next. I tried out Crash Bandicoot 4, which I didn't really like the original Crash Bandicoots. I know, Frank, you were big into them.
I love the first one. I've tried to get into the second one. I hate the sliding. It's just, it is so unintuitive to me how it works in Crash Bandicoot 2. I really dislike it, and I can't get over it. I love the first one. I just cannot get into the second one.
So I recall the first one on the original PlayStation being a little clunky. And I must say, I was pretty impressed with this game. Now, I only played the first two major areas, so I didn't really get too far in it. But the controls were really slick. The animation in this game is incredible. Like, the amount of effort these guys put into the animation in the cutscenes and in the regular gameplay. Oh, here we go. It's pretty impressive. And the only problem is you blew away all my notes, Frank, when he pulled that screen shared.
Don't say Frank. It wasn't Frank.
It was me.
Oh, Sean. So, you know, it was just, I hadn't played it for that long, but it really feels improved on the original. And, you know, it just felt really polished, a lot more polished than I was expecting. I don't know what I was expecting exactly for this remake, because it almost feels like they took the first level of the original Crash Bandicoot, or at least that style, and then they kind of flip it on its head and they start sending you through other areas. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. I liked it. I was really liking it. I was liking the voice acting. I was liking the animation. It was just a lot higher quality than I was expecting. And I feel like this game is really under the radar, and no one really is talking about it. How long does anyone know when this came out?
October 4th or 7th, somewhere.
Okay, so not too long ago. Yeah, I haven't heard anyone talking about it, and it's pretty good, pretty good. So I would recommend people to check it out if they like this kind of platforming action game. And
does it have the slide?
There is the slide in it. Now, I didn't get frustrated by it, but maybe I'm assuming they improved it.
Yeah, I don't know where it ended up in part 3, but I remember in part 2 it was like, if you slide and jump, you jump higher, which just seems completely unintuitive to me and unnecessary, and I hate that mechanic in the game.
There was a little weird thing where if you duck, you can duck and then double jump to jump higher, and it was a little clunky because it was on...
That's the same.
Like, it was on like the... What button was it? It was like X and B or something. Yeah. Like, you had to hit like two face buttons at the same time to kind of get it to happen. So it was a little clunky.
That sounds the same.
Yeah. So that was not ideal. But other than that, it was pretty fun.
Yeah, I think, well, I'm not that into Crash Bandicoot, and I certainly never played the original back in the day, but I was curious, but then I read a couple reviews saying that it was kind of unforgiving and that the difficulty ramps up quite a bit, so that kind of scared me off, but you never know. I guess sometimes it depends who's reviewing it.
Yeah, I didn't get very far, so I can't really comment on that. I just played the first couple areas, so could be. Yeah.
Also, I guess it's weird, like, it's not a PS5 game. I assume, you know, you can play it on the PS5, but I don't think it's, you know, enhanced in any way for PS5, which seems a little weird.
Yeah.
Okay, I can go. I guess just real quick, I mean, I know Frank played a bit of this too, but NHL 94 Rewind got added to Game Pass, which was kind of a pleasant surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I know we were talking about this. Did we talk about it? I think we did at some point when it was announced that, you know, they said they're not doing a standalone version of this game. You have to pre-order the latest NHL game to get it. And then, I don't know, showed up on
the magic of Game Pass.
I believe if you buy NHL now on the PlayStation Store as well, it comes with NHL Rewind again. So they've
Okay, that's cool.
Throwing it back in, I think. Let me just confirm.
And I assume, I don't know for sure, but I assume if you don't have Game Pass, but you just have EA Play, it would be on there as well.
I think so. It is part of EA Play. And there is a specific NHL 21 Rewind bundle on the PlayStation Store now.
Okay. But, yeah, I played a few games of this, and, I mean, it's pretty much exactly the way I remembered it. Frank maybe wasn't remembering it the same way, but...
Well, I remembered in my, like... I just remember being so simple, whatever I wanted to do, the controls did it. It was video game perfection, and that is certainly not the case. You know,
well, it's definitely slower than you remember. Like, that's one of the things, like, especially if you played a lot of these games over the years, the speed gradually ramped up from year to year. And when you go back to 94, sometimes it's shocking how slow and methodical the movement is.
Can't you change the speed? Isn't that a setting lower down in the?
Oh, menu? Is it? I don't know.
I don't know. I can't remember. For some of them, it is. But know what? I wasn't listening to Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, so you know, I really gotta get back into the full experience. I need to crank that, and I was liking it. Don't get me wrong, but I do wish there was an online mode so we could have played.
Yeah, no online mode. I mean, my brother's coming over this weekend, so, you know, I'm going to be definitely loading this up and seeing how it holds up with local multiplayer. But, I mean, it's cool just to have updated team rosters and stuff.
Did it have current rosters?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, because I tried it as well, but I played just like All-Star East versus All-Star West, and I wasn't really paying close enough attention. I didn't have any goals scored, so none of the names came up, and I didn't get any penalties, so... real exciting game.
I've had a lot of trouble scoring. It took me my third game to score, and I won 1-0.
That's weird because my first game was 7-5.
I know, it's crazy.
We got an NHL 94 expert over here.
Well, I don't know. I was playing New Jersey versus Toronto, and New Jersey kind of suck in this game, so I have no explanation, but that's always been the issue with these games is... The teams, it really depends what teams you're playing.
So don't have Marty Brodeur anymore in this one.
Definitely not. So anyway, I mean, if you remember this game and if you have Game Pass, you might want to check it out because it's there for you.
Cool. I will mention you guys played, or maybe just Sean played, River City Girls. No, you both played it, right?
Yeah.
I played it a bit this week, too. I think out of the three beat-em-ups, Streets of Rage, Battletoads, and this, I was liking this one the most. I like the combat. I like the music. I didn't play that much, but I got further in this one than I did in some of the other ones. I might go back to it. Sean and I did try to play multiplayer, and were disappointed to find out that there's no... online multiplayer, but
yep, another game that's no
what are you gonna do multiplayer. But it's a pretty good game. I don't have a ton to say about it, but I will maybe go back to it. I didn't play the original River City Ransom. I've never played any of them, but
this is actually is not what it's like at all.
this video is not.
Now, is this the same company that made Scott Pilgrim?
No, Ubisoft made Scott Pilgrim.
Right, I know, but I don't know what developer made it. But, like, River City Ransom. Is Scott Pilgrim, like, the coin system? Like, it seems like it's very similar to River City Ransom.
These guys made Shantae, Shantae games.
Okay. Anyway, I'm kind of digging it. I like it. And then I'll just mention I fired up Dragon Quest XI. I've never played a Dragon Quest game in my life. The reviews for this game were amazing. I just did the opening chapter, prologue, whatever it is, and I was enjoying it. I'm really not getting into anything intense combat-wise, so that has me a little worried. It's very simple, everything I've done so far. But I did like the art style, and I actually really liked the pre-rendered cinematics. I thought they looked really good, and I liked kind of the combination of the kind of photorealistic background assets and the cartoony characters. I don't know. I don't think I'll get into it now just because I'm hoping to get into Cyberpunk and this game looks pretty long, but
oh yeah.
I thought it was pretty good.
Just on the topic of Cyberpunk, I know you were asking Frank if anybody else is picking it up. I did pre-order this many, many months ago. I actually don't know if I'm getting it because I feel like my order might have got canceled. I don't know. I looked back in my emails to try and find out if there was, you know, any sort of confirmation of that this is coming to me anytime soon, and I've seen nothing.
Can't you just go to your order history on Amazon?
I'm trying to remember if I actually ordered it. Sometimes it's weird. Sometimes when I order stuff, I just go through, like, I do a PayPal purchase as a guest account, and then I realize afterwards, oh shit, now I have no way to find out if I, you know, what the status of this order is.
But that would be on Best Buy, right? If you bought it from Best Buy?
Yeah, but I think it might have been Walmart too that I got this one from.
Do the people who are now living in your old house going to get a little surprise?
Well, I've had already a couple things go to them. It was kind of annoying because, you know, I put, you know, like a Canada Post forward thing on, but certain things, like, you don't know what how people are shipping things these days.
Yeah.
And if it's not Canada Post, then they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
I could go next. I played a little bit of Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and I, you know what? I don't know. I played a little bit of Origins. I played a little bit of Odyssey. And is this the next one since Odyssey?
Yep.
So I was finding it pretty cumbersome in the controls.
Very and clunky.
It just seemed like there was a lot of buttons to press. They seem to always want you to do that, like, whatever they call it, vision or whatever. And the button is now like hold down the R click button, is like the worst choice. like, why hold it? Why not just click it?
Yeah.
Why the hold? I don't understand. Were they finding in playtesting that a lot of people were like accidentally clicking it when they were just trying to move the camera around? I don't understand why they chose the hold. But I'm constantly prompted to use that focus mechanic or whatever it is, and it's so annoying to hold down the right stick. I hate it. I hate it. I also hate that they seem to add like a bunch of breakable crates that only seem to drop things like maybe 10% of the time or less. So you have all this extra busy work combat that leads to nothing, no reward. That I am not impressed with. And yeah, it just seems like there's a lot of buttons, a lot of things to do, and the tutorial was not great.
Not at all.
I'm comparing the tutorial to this, to the tutorial to like Ghost of Tsushima, it's night and day. Like, this is, they basically like assume you are an Assassin's Creed aficionado. You've just recently finished Odyssey, and now you're moving into this. I had no idea really what to do.
It's the same thing as Legions, where the prompts, the gameplay doesn't force you to do anything. It just flashes on the screen for a second, and if you miss it, you're fucked.
Too bad. Yeah, and it just throws you right in the action. There's no tailored experience at the beginning to teach you how to play the game. It's literally like, yeah, this is a Ubisoft open world game. Have at it. Like, you know this, but I don't know this. I don't remember it. I haven't played Odyssey in a long time. I played Legion recently, and it was the same thing, like Frank was just saying. I wasn't impressed, and I'm really not feeling like going back to it. So I'd probably rather go back to Origins over this game right now. And I like the environments. It looked good. I was just playing on Xbox One, so it's nothing fancy. But the area, the setting is fun, but that's about it right now.
I did side quests. Like, I kind of ventured off the main path right away, and I went to the town to try all the different types of side quests. And there was this one side quest where I had to chase after a guy. Just, like, the quest itself was probably 5 seconds, and the preamble dialogue before the quest, which is completely meaningless, was like 3 minutes.
Yes.
I'm like, who cares about this stuff?
Yeah, even when you're walking through that initial, there's like an initial area where you're a child, and you're walking through, and they have all this extra shit you can do that is pointless, that just extends out this intro prologue for even longer. I'm glad I avoided all that stuff because I know there was nothing there. There's nothing ever there in the prologue. And yeah, it just, there's a lot of, like, the writers.
I feel bad for the people who had to write that stuff, translate it, animate it. It's just filler, and it's like it actually detracts from the experience, in my opinion, obviously.
The first section where you rescue your friends and then you get on that boat and you head to your home base, I literally got on the boat, put it into cinematic mode, said, go to my town or whatever, and then started watching something on YouTube. And it had to have been 10 minutes of me literally doing nothing. Of it, just the boat just driving and them talking about something that I don't care about. Just so much dialogue. Yeah. It's just a little overwhelming. But
I am curious. If it wasn't, I'll be honest, if it wasn't for Cyberpunk, I might have fired this back up on PS5 just to see to get a next gen open world experience. But I got to get into Cyberpunk.
Now, is the Cyberpunk next-gen experience coming, though?
No.
On the 10th? Okay.
But it looks pretty good for what it is. And
I'm sure it does, yeah.
I just want to be on the ground floor of an open-world game that I think is going to be good, because I'm always...
Yeah, I'm...
Well, the hype train is high.
Yeah, I really want to give this one a shot, because a lot of these games, you know, as we've been talking about, open-world games... I find it tough to get into. This one, you know, is a world that I should really love. I mean, that same thing happened with a lot of the Deus Ex games. I'm always like, I'm going to actually give it a shot. I'm going to try these and then play for an hour. That's it. So I'm going to try my best to really give this one a shot. We'll see what happens. But I'm excited.
Cool.
Okay, I got one other quick thing to mention. So I played Pistol Whip. Threw this in.
This is a VR game, right?
VR game, recently released for PlayStation. I think it came out for Oculus and whatever other like PC VR stuff last year. I don't know if you can find a trailer for this because it's kind of...
Yeah, one second. Here we go.
It basically is like Beat Saber with guns, I would say, is kind of what it is. So it's... you're going through these levels and you have to shoot at targets like moving like people, but it's kind of this stylized, almost like a super hot kind of abstract, colorful representation of this.
And the thing is, you John Wick vibes too, no? Like,
well, yeah, definitely John Wick for sure. But yeah, the whole thing is you have to try to shoot people to the beat. So I don't totally understand what. I think you just get more points for doing that. I don't know if you like it, that affects your health or what, but I played like the first three levels on whatever the default difficulty was, and I only died once, but it was pretty fun, I gotta say. And it's like, it's not just shooting, like you also have to dodge. So it really does feel like super hot because you have like these sort of trails, bullet trails coming towards you. And you have to like move your body out of the way while you're kind of reaching around to shoot somebody else. And it was pretty fun, I gotta say. I really want to go back and play some more of this. Now, I gotta throw this out there. I know, like, I'm starting to think about, I assume we're going to be doing a top 10 of 2020 at some point. Where do games like this fit? You know, like, it's technically a last year's release, but this year on PSVR, like, how do you guys deal with that? Yeah, if it came out on a certain platform that year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Could be in the running. I don't know yet.
Well, that's your whole way to do the top 10 list, right? Like, it's theatrical release versus original release. Like, you know how to do this.
I guess so. It's a little different.
It is. I agree. I'm kind of hyperbolizing here, but maybe let me give it some more thought. I'll get back to you in a couple weeks on this one, okay?
Okay.
I don't know right now. I will say I briefly played... Sean and I played golf with friends online the other night.
Yes.
It was okay. It was kind of annoying, actually, but it was fun. The simple course was fun, but I had a few design issues here and there. But
we tried the Worms course.
Oh God, it was a disaster.
Which
might have been a little out of our skill level. We hadn't played that much.
We weren't ready.
We were not ready. And there was one other thing I played that I wanted to talk about. Oh, I played Pro Evolution Soccer because I saw it was leaving Game Pass. And I didn't play much, but I was really surprised.
It was on Game Pass?
It still is, yeah.
Oh, man.
I was really surprised. Like, they give you a control option at the beginning, basically, to say, you know, do you want to play FIFA controls or Pro Evolution Soccer controls? And I haven't played one of these games in that probably 3 years. I played a demo for one of these, and I used to like the Konami soccer games a while back. And it is so similar to FIFA now. It's crazy. It's just almost another version of FIFA. Like, they're so close. I'm not getting into the details, but it really felt like I was just playing a FIFA game. And I liked it. Don't get me wrong. I thought some of the player models were really good. Messi and a couple other ones, but it's a good game. I don't know if I'll go back to it that much, but I liked the presentation. I thought it was decent.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I don't know if I've ever played any of those games, but I've always heard, you know, that there's sort of this camp, or there's these two divided sides between FIFA versus Pro Evolution,
which I used to get. Like, I remember playing the Konami soccer games. Like, was it Winning 11 or something like that? Even
yeah, Winning 11.
On PlayStation and stuff like that. And I, like, they felt like they're unique experiences, right? I just, the line's getting real blurry these days. Sorry, Sean, I interrupted.
Well, I almost wonder if, like, it seems like the market can't support two competing titles. Like, after a while, one always seems to kill the other, right? Like, I guess NBA maybe, but EA kind of lost out on that one for a while, right?
They're still out.
Are they still out?
Yeah.
Oh, well then.
They tried to come back in 2019, I think, and did not actually end up shipping a game.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
For NBA, like, did you say for NBA?
Yeah, NBA Live.
Well, they shipped a couple. I think they stopped in 2020. There was one in 19.
Was there?
Yeah. I think 17, 18, and 19, they came back. And then they shut it down after that.
Oh, okay.
But
so it is currently shut down, though. Like,
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
The 2K series is the only series going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what that's all about. What about baseball? Is there, like...
Just the show.
The show is the only one?
Unless you count Super Mega Baseball, which is not really a...
And RBI Baseball.
Right.
Well, yeah. They're not really Sims.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I don't know why that is, but I guess it just seems like one eventually becomes the dominant one, and then the other one fades away.
It's really weird that MLB, though, is like a console exclusive.
Yeah.
It's a PlayStation published game, right? Like, or Sony published game. It's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. I got one last thing. I got back into Breath of the Wild. So I jumped back into that. I was just feeling it. And I haven't really been doing anything. I just got the Master Sword. I just saved up enough hearts to get that. And I was surprised at how easily I was able to jump back into it. The controls were not that tricky. I found I was throwing away my swords a lot less than I was before. And it was amazing how quickly I remembered how to use I wouldn't call them magic spells, but like the skills, the extra skills with the bombs and the camera and the magnetism.
Sheikah Slate powers, I think. Or
The Sheikah Slate powers. But I literally just spent my time. I've played maybe a couple more hours. I spent my time just kind of going around doing side quests, trying to find the seeds and trying to find temples or shrines. I haven't done any more of the... I've got two more of the... whatever you call those things. Not the guardians, but whatever they're called.
Divine beasts.
Yeah, the divine beasts. I got two more of those left. So I think I still have a ton of the game left. And I'm sure I have a ton of shrines to find. And I don't know. I was enjoying it a little bit more this time. Now that I have the Master Sword, I don't think it can break, right? That would be real bad if you could break the Master Sword. Does anyone know?
I haven't gotten the Master Sword yet.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't break. And there's a shield that I think you can get that is like almost unbreakable. I can't remember which one that is, but yeah, once you start getting that stuff.
Can I put forth one thing that would really make me play Zelda more? And the fact that you can't call your horse, that I have to go to a stable to get my horse. I don't know if this is a ocarina song you get later or something like that. I don't know, but
I thought there was an ocarina song for that, unless that was only in other games. I don't remember.
Yeah, I know it's in other games, but I hate that if I venture off or climb a mountain and come out another side, my horse is where I left it. I can't call it back. I hate that. It's the worst.
Yeah. The only thing that kind of saves it is that you do have the horse icon on the map, which at least you know where it is. And there are a lot of fast travel points, so getting back to it is not that tough. But I agree. I never use my horse in that game for that exact reason.
And I liked the horse riding. I can't be bothered to go get a horse.
Yeah.
And you really have to climb a lot. You have to climb all the time, so you dismount very regularly. Mm-hmm. And then getting it back is a pain in the arse.
Yeah. So I don't know. I was enjoying it. I think I might try to power through over the next couple months.
My favorite thing about that game, hands down, I guess the art style, besides the art style, but this ties in. I love the menus, the HUD, the user experience of just like the quests, the font for the quests and how all that stuff shows up. It is absolutely beautiful. I cannot get over the menus, how gorgeous they are in that game. It's such a unique typeface. Oh, like if Nintendo does one thing right, that is it. Their presentation elements, they get the presentation bump on every game, and I fully understand it, but my God, I love their fucking menus and heads-up displays.
I had to complain a bit about the menus when you're going between your swords,
functionality, just look. The functionality is a different thing altogether.
Because if you need to go from your swords to whatever's on the far right side, it takes you 5 minutes to go all the way across.
That I agree.
It's pretty brutal.
And cooking gets a little frustrating to have to put all these things together. And I wish there was just a way, like a quick recipe or something. Like
I agree.
I love the sound. I love the audio feedback for cooking. But
dig out your amiibos, Frank. That helps with the cooking.
Fuck off.
You can like spawn tons of ingredients to, like on the fly. Come on, man.
Well, I have all the ingredients. I don't want to go to the menus to
select everything
and then put them and then wait for, I know I can tap. I know it's still too long. I don't care.
While we're talking Breath of the Wild, got to bring up Immortals Fenyx Rising came out this week. Seems to be decent reviews. I mean, there's some different takes on it. Like I've seen some people absolutely loving it. Some people kind of disappointed with it. I definitely want to play this at some point. I just don't know when I'm going to pick it up. But what about you guys?
I'll get it eventually.
I'm always curious. I thought I might have picked it up. Just not good timing for this release, got to be honest.
Yep, I agree.
I must say, it might be a good time to buy some Ubisoft stock because they literally just pumped out like 3 or 4 games in this quarter. So I'm going to assume that their financial report for the next quarter when it comes out is going to be pretty good. So you might a little do pump a dump, you know what I'm saying?
Well, especially since they are kind of the big games that people are picking up with the next-gen consoles too, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I'm sensing a money-making opportunity here.
It's a good thing that stock prices are not directly related to quality of games lately. So. I don't think they're bad by any means, but I do think the review scores are, in general, too high for these games, the ones I've played.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I think that's it. You got anything else? I'm done.
Nope.
Yeah, that's it for this week, I think.
Well, next week, apparently Project Red said the North American release for Cyberpunk is 7 p.m. on Wednesday, the 9th, I think. Do I have this right? Yeah, I think so. So, unless that was Pacific time, I'll double check. But I will be pre-ordering, pre-downloading, and hopefully talking about it on the next show.
Maybe we should mention, too, like, I think as we're into December here, and, you know, there's been less news as of late, send us some junk mail. If we get some good questions, maybe we'll turn to some of that for topics in the coming weeks. So gamejunkpodcast@gmail.com.
Absolutely. We will ignore those over the month of December. I've got too much to talk about. I'm just kidding. We'll look at those. Give us some good ones. Like, a lot of them are stuff we've talked about before, but, you know, we got a new, like, booming YouTube audience that needs new answers, and we'll give them to them. No problem. Check us, well, not me, but check these guys out on Twitter. Film Junk, My Angry Commute, Equilibrium Sis, on Facebook, Game Junk Podcast, correct?
Where? On Facebook, Facebook? I think it's just Game Junk.
Okay, whatever. Just go to YouTube. Go to the YouTubes. That's where the kids are these days.
See the sweet trailers we just screen shared with everybody.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Big week next week. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.